I was just thinking that this disposition of the feet shod with the preparation of the gospel ought to baffle the enemy. Because if we are in a scene of conflict against the heavenly host, attempting to hinder us, and there is the disposition of peace in the heart of the one who wears that armor, who wears that piece of the armor, if there's that disposition, the enemy has to be baffled. How could you have peace when there is conflict? So it's important, I think, to appreciate the disposition that goes with the feet shod with the preparation of the bad tidings.
Paul have shown that in the ship. With a storm raging, with everyone scared to death. And here is a man that stood up and made this great statement. He said, "Sirs, I believe in God." Talking about peace, you have 300 people in the ship that are, and they are skillful mariners. They know everything. They were all scared to death. They have no resources. They have no power. And here's a guy. This is a man with a chain in his hand and his feet, standing up with all the dignity. "I believe in God." The sense of confidence, peace. What's going to happen? The ship is going to break and I'm going to die? I know where I'm going. But he said, "The angel of a God whom I worship, serve, from my forefathers, stood before me." And he said, "Fear not." Here is a man stood before Agrippa. What kind of peace? He was talking with all confidence, and his shoes have peace in there, standing, talking this way. Believers, we ought to have that disposition as we walk here in the scene. When everybody's worried about everything that's going to happen. And again, it's so easy to talk about these things, but we need to take it to heart. When we walk into this world, that's a practicality of it. Am I having confidence in God? They ask Paul, "Aren't you afraid?" "No. I know whom I have believed. And I am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him until that day."
Could we also, in addition to what you said, is it possible that it could also have a thought, I know the time is running out, that as we move in this world, as we move around, that we also have a readiness of mind to share the gospel of Christ? Okay. I'm not talking about preaching. I'm talking about talking to people in our everyday lives. Could that also be a part
it's,
of
it? It's walking the gospel. Because they would ask you a question. Why are you just... Aren't you worried? I know. And that's really, it's walking the gospel.
Doesn't Peter
say...
Can I say
a word about the gospel just for a moment? We had a good gospel message. Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures. He was buried. He rose again the third day according to the scriptures. But Paul goes further. Paul says he's preaching the gospel of the glory. People, when we get saved, we're linked up with that glorified man in the glory. Not just our sins are forgiven. That's wonderful to have your sins forgiven, have peace with God through our Lord Jesus. But we're linked up with that lovely man in the glory. And the light of the knowledge of the glory of God is shining in Jesus' face. And that's the gospel. That's Paul's gospel. Nothing wrong with what he said in 1 Corinthians. Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures. He was buried. He rose again the third day. But he goes further. There's a man in heaven. And so I'm not linked up with a man upon the cross. If that was the case, I'd already be crucifixed. No. I'm linked up with that glorified man, the man in the glory. So when you preach the gospel, not only preach Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, the Old Testament scriptures, buried, resurrected, but there's a lovely man in heaven filling all heaven. It's called the gospel of the glory. It's not good to have the full gospel. No, with preparation, preparing for the gospel, not only what our brother said, which was wonderful, but we link people up with that lovely man in heaven, the man Christ Jesus. Notice I didn't say Jesus Christ, but the man Christ Jesus. Mentioned 50 times, 49 times by Paul, and once by Peter. There's therefore no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. He is Jesus Christ, and how wonderful that is. But coming forth in resurrection and ascension, he is the man Christ Jesus and how wonderful to be linked up with Christ Jesus, that lovely man that is filling all heaven, soon to come back to fill the universe with the glory of God.
Chris,
so may God bless the gospel.
Chris, you were so bold.
Just to say that Peter says that we may give answer of the hope that lies within us. Mm-hmm. And I believe it's just what we're saying. Now, it doesn't mean that I'm advertising that I'm a Christian. But there's the time of the storm or a time of trial. And I'm settled about it because I'm in the good of the gospel. And I don't have to advertise, but there are going to be people that ask, what's different about you? And then we can say, well, the Lord has done this in my heart, and He could do the same for you. And so the gospel...
Think of the example of Paul and Silas. Their feet were specifically shackled, the only thing it says. And after the earthquake, they were able to explain the praise that they were giving and have that Philippian jailer saved.
So now we have, we move on, and we have the helmet of salvation. So we need something to finish.
The shield of faith.
I'm moving really fast.
Although we cannot dwell too much anymore on every article, but maybe we can touch on it. The reality of it is that faith in that setting certainly is not the faith that we have been given to obtain salvation, if you will. It's the confidence that we have in God. The enemy loves to attack this in us. That you and I will not be confident in Him. Some of us, we go through some deep waters and some different trials. And instead of raising more confidence within me in Him, we question. We will be bold enough to question, what is God doing? Is He really care if not that we perish? That's what the disciples told the Lord Jesus. So brethren, I think this is something that requires much protection in our days, that we don't want to allow any dart of the enemy, any attack, to bring doubt within our own souls, that we are not confident in the living God, that we start going to different things because we might find our help in man or our help in this book, whatever it is, making us lose confidence in God Himself. So I wonder if the brethren can agree with that. It is a relationship with confidence in God that we need to maintain it in a warfare.
Let me add to that, because I want to correct in your mind the picture of the Roman soldier. You usually see him with a shield, right? That little something. That's not the shield that we're speaking about here. The shield here is this big, great thing that you could hide yourself behind. It's not a little shield. It's a totally different word for the shield in there. It is like a big thing that you could completely hide behind. So when the enemy is throwing his fiery dart, faith comes in. Remember Goliath? He had a man holding that big shield. But he was, you don't want a man to hold the shield for you. You don't want to hide behind somebody else's shield. You don't want to hide behind somebody else's faith. But that shield that I could, the confidence in God, that completely could cover me. It's not a little something here, that I could just be in there, completely covered by faith, in confidence in God, that no matter what the enemy tried to bring in my mind, doubts about the love of God. Especially when I'm going through some difficult time. Really? Does God love you? Does He care about you? Mm. Where is the love of God? Mm. Now, we know, the scripture said, not we feel, we know all things work together for good for them that love God. That is the shield, that big thing that will be in front of me completely to cover me from any fiery thought that might cause doubt in my mind in regard to me, in regard to the love of God toward me, and give me confidence in God.
And I was just thinking that you're pointing out it's the inflamed darts, the fiery darts. It's not just throwing the darts alone, but they have a double edge to them. They're sharp, but they're on fire. So they will have a double effect if they're allowed to penetrate. And we have to be conscious of what the tactics that he's using, the enemy is using, to try to achieve his objective. And therefore there needs to be that shield to avoid the contact, coming in contact with the darts.